Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Thursday, April 6th. I'm Ray Graff. Changing careers can be difficult and daunting. Where do you start if you're thinking about a change? Well, we have a pair of career counselors in the studio today to answer your questions about finding new career paths and more. Give us a call, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Even if you're just looking to burnish the resume a little bit and brush it up, we have advice for you there, 800-348-2551. Career Forum today, your calls. You can also email the program, voxpop@wamc.org. It's voxpop@wamc.org to email. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Careers today after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Finding a job is tough enough, but what about making a career switch? What are the first steps? What's the best strategy? That's where our career panel comes in. We have Robert Frederick, we call him Bob, founder of Employee Development Associates, and Luke Schmonsky, director of the Center for Student Success at Albany College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences, also a professor at St. Rose. They're here to answer your questions. So if you're looking for a job, maybe preparing for that interview, you need to update your resume, now's the time to call 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email the program at voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org. But again, our number is 800-348-2551. Bob Frederick, Luke Schmonsky, welcome to the show.
Thanks,
Always good to be here.
Nice to have you guys here. You wanted to talk about this. It's kind of a Zen-like phrase. Think big, start small. What do you mean by that?
That's what we're going to ask our audience to think about. If they're driving right now, don't write it down if you're driving. But a lot of us are, ideas always seem big sometimes to us, no matter if you're thinking about a college that you're looking to go into and there's pressure on you from parents and other people to, don't make a mistake in this decision. It's going to cost us a lot of money. Or maybe we're not enjoying our time in our current work right now. And we have to think big to what's that big switch going to be, because it's financial. It's big financial situations happening. Purchases and financial planning. Everything sometimes is rooted in the word big. And I think what we'd like to talk about today is kind of getting away from the bigness of decision-making and getting back to the small, focused opportunities we all have to play and try and actually start thinking in smaller bite sizes for things that seem a little bit more in line with what you'd like to try, what you'd like to explore. How do you want to play a little bit with something that's on your idea and actually turn those big ideas into small actions?
Yeah, I mean, and I go over this a lot in my class. The first class, I always frame this. It's a career development class, and we talk about this poll. This Gallup did a poll once, and it was something. I don't want to get into the details of it because I'm not a very detail-oriented person, but what it came down to was that, one out of every three people that you see are actually happy in their profession, in their career. So that means two out of three aren't. I mean, there's different layers of that. But Bob and I, what we like to talk about, and for our own career development and others' career development, is how can we be happy in what we are doing? And sometimes, we have some ideas, but they seem far out there, and that's a big risk or a big decision to make, to maybe jump career paths or whatever it is that you want to do that might make you happy.
You're looking concerned.
No, I'm just, I question whether, being fully satisfied is ever attainable and whether it's that important.
Well, and what they talk about in various books, and we'll offer some resources or books along this conversation, is if you think of Drive, the book that's been fairly popular, in there it talks about motivational factors. And of course, we can't motivate you, but we can set up situations or help you to develop an experience that is motivating for you. So you motivate yourself. And what are those factors? Typically, it's we're motivated by rules, we're motivated by incentives, and then we're motivated by values. And in Drive, it would say that rules and incentives only go so far and aren't necessarily effective in the long run. But the values, the connection to values, is where most people are fully connected and actually feel inspired and connected and want to do more of whatever they value. And therefore, if you can connect that to work, life, community, relationships, that's when people really find the happiness in what they're doing.
Our guest today is Bob Frederick, also Luke Schmonsky. Bob is founder of Employee Development Associates. Luke is director of Center for Student Success at Albany College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences. It's a career forum today on Vox Pop. Our number is 800-348-2551. And this one message came in via Facebook. And this is from Lori, who writes, "My husband has been at the same job for 16 years and for the last few years has been searching for a new job. He hasn't had much luck. I believe it is because being at a job for that long, you tend to not have a lot of diverse experience. I have recommended to him on many occasions that he might want to seek out the advice of a career counselor, but he's a stubborn man and doesn't think that he'd benefit from the service. I've asked him to listen to your show today. I was hoping that your guest might be able to give him some good reasons that he should seek out the services of a career counselor." Well, Lori, I hope everything's okay at home. Gentlemen, what do you think?
Well, I do think that that can be a struggle, as Lori mentioned in her Facebook post. I think 16 years was the amount of time.
Yeah,
that's a very long time to be employed at a particular area, particular organization, whatever it might be. I do think career counselors can help in these particular situations, because 16 years, trends change, resume trends change, interview techniques change. If, for instance, something that goes on right now a lot for organizations are behavioral-based interview questions, right, where they I would say they kind of force you to provide an example. They don't want to just, oh, what's the greatest, or how do you solve a problem? They want to know the problem that you've solved in the past and the steps that you took to solve that particular problem. So a career counselor is typically up to date on those trends and can help somebody kind of market themselves and either, you know, where is the roadblock? Is it that this person's not getting any interviews, or they're getting interviews and not necessarily getting the job? They can explore all those and try to figure out, okay, what obstacle do we have and how can we overcome that obstacle? So talking to somebody always helps.
Yeah, and one of the first things I'd say is talk to yourself. So that might scare some people. But but don't let it scare you. So one thing that I do every Sunday is journal. And I've been doing it probably for over 15 years now. And what I do is allow my thoughts to get onto paper so I can review them later on to see where my mind's at, where some of my thinking is, how I'm reacting or responding to some things that might have happened in the week or whatever to learn from. And what I'd suggest for Lori and her husband and anybody listening is, no matter what situation you are, no matter if it's in a long relationship, a long career path, and you're always finding something, like you were saying, that you're not going to always be happy with.
Sure.
And that anything that we do for a long time, we start to lose the amazing value that we first saw in it to begin with. If you think of anything you started and were excited about the opportunity, after time, it will lose its effect.
But isn't this It's a false problem if one doesn't live to work but work to live. Isn't it a mindset issue?
Oh, I think it's a huge mindset issue. So as if you would read that literature, if it's your growth mindset or fixed, I think we all are trying to lean more to being more growth-oriented in our mindset rather than always seeing what we've seen before and staying there. So in regards to what I was talking about is, in regards to journaling, think about how a lot of recruiters might try to steal you from another company, and they might put out there, here's this wonderful opportunity. Or they might give you a call saying, hey, Ray, you know, we saw your style. We see what you're doing. We like what you're doing. Here's some of the things that we like and that we'd like to offer you. Yeah. And those people that even think about, ooh, that kind of sounds good, and I'm not doing it now, but I'd like to. Those that are thinking about that might want to go back and say, if that sounded interesting to me, I could go somewhere else to look for that. but I probably could also get it right where I am right now if I decide to focus in on that and ask people around me if those opportunities are available or how could I create those opportunities. So that's one thing I'd start to think about is what are some of those things that you feel that you're doing that you could ignite again in some way to bring back its value, doing it differently, doing it with different people, doing it in a different area. What are some things that you're not doing, but you've been thinking about? We'll go back to those small thoughts that you've been having. How could I introduce that? And getting out of your mind saying, well, it hasn't been done here before, or leadership won't believe in it. Why even bring it up? But what we don't do is we don't move that idea to the next stage of asking questions about it or playing with it. And so you really need to then go beyond that and start testing the waters to re-engage. And I'd say 16 years, God bless you, doesn't mean that you're stale. Doesn't mean that you're old in something. It means that you have a great relationship with the company. They value you. And hopefully that if you want to not just count the days to retirement, but really be enthusiastic about how many more years do you want to add value, this is your chance to rediscover how you can apply those abilities.
Lori mentioned her husband has worked 16 years in the same spot. Is that really abnormal nowadays to work that long in one? I mean, you think about it. I have no data from the 20s or 30s or 40s, but it seems like people got into a job, they stayed in that job. Have things changed that much?
I do think that we are seeing that, you know, the long term, somebody staying in a career or with a certain organization long term isn't as popular as it used to be. There's a little bit more movement, I think, in the marketplace, and it could be, you know, people, there's a real strong entrepreneurial spirit with the younger generation, the millennials, so to speak. So that's something that can attribute to that. But I don't know. I think it kind of ebbs and flows. I do think people tend to change jobs a little bit more now. I don't really have any strong data to back that up. But, you know, before there wasn't as many competing organizations either, right? Mm. So, you know, it's all how the marketplace changes and technology and all of that.
We're joined today by Luke Schmonsky and Bob Frederick. It's the Career Forum, and what we'll do is we'll take a quick break here, and then we'll get to the phones. 800-348-2551 is our number. 800-348-2551. Your phone call's coming up.
Support comes from the University at Albany Theater Program, working to train the next generation of performers, designers, technicians, playwrights, and stage managers. albany.edu/theater. George Heigl Antiques, Ballston Spa, New York, offering estate sale services including management appraisals and evaluations for individuals, families, and businesses. 518-396-7974. The Hyde Collection, an art museum and historic house in Glens Falls, New York, open Tuesday through Saturday 10 to 5 and Sunday 12 to 5. HydeCollection.org. Fort Hill Auto Body, Amherst, Massachusetts, locally owned and operated since 1997, providing auto body repair, detailing, painting, and glass replacement. A proud supporter of public radio. FortHillAutoBody.com. And Real Seafood Company, Wolf Road Colony, locally owned seafood restaurant and raw bar, RealSeafoodCO.com.
Fox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you, 800-348-2551, the telephone number. It's a career forum today on Vox Pop. We're joined by Bob Frederick and Luke Schmonsky, and let's go to the phones. William in Springfield is first. William, thank you for waiting.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Nice to have you here.
So here's my question. I had a career in sales and management in the IT industry, and now I want to do something else. And so I'm 67 years old, redid my resume, put all the summaries, the skill sets, the metrics on it. And my question is, what is a good website to post these things? And is that efficient?
Okay. Good one.
Yeah, William, I think that, you know, getting your resume out there, obviously that's something that you want to do. But a lot of people tend to post resumes on Monster, on Career Builder, whatever the websites might be, and just say, okay, cool, it's up, I'm done. I'll wait for the calls to come in, where it really doesn't work that way. Honestly, the best thing to do when you are searching for a new job, a new career, you're looking to change career paths, as you said, or looking to do something different, the best thing to do is really to network and to meet some people and get your resume in the hands of people or in their inboxes, whatever that might be. So I think that's really the most important thing to do. A lot of people get on, say, LinkedIn. LinkedIn's a great website to utilize, but people create a profile on LinkedIn, and then they say, great, I'm done, and I'm just going to start connecting with as many people as possible. I always say quality over quantity. So if you connect with 20 people, share some emails back and forth, really make a connection with them, then that's always going to be better off than just getting a profile up there and ready to go. So I hope that answers your question a little bit. I don't know if Bob has anything to add.
In general, I would probably speak with some companies, or I might start with employment agencies that target the IT industry in your area. And I'm not sure if you're looking to relocate or not, but if you're looking to
no, I wanted to get out of the IT industry, do something else. And in homage to Joseph Campbell, I want to exactly what you said, follow your bliss.
Right.
So do something else. Maybe use those skill sets, but transfer them to something different, a little bit more exciting, not the kind of sales oriented where you're going after people all the time.
Well, and you can apply your sales ability in a lot of different ways and different formats or approaches. And so sales to many people sounds like yuck. Mm-hmm. But sales is such an important quality and skill that most people don't value sometimes, but it is one of the most valuable tools and skill sets that there is out there, because it's tied to communication skills, understanding people's needs, and being able to provide options that have value to them. So don't throw that out the window, because it's one of the great values that you have along with your background. So again, I would, it all depends on your focus. So in working with maybe your career counseling center, if you attended any colleges online or through alumni groups, I would use LinkedIn groups or other groups that are in your area, or any of the libraries in your area, to talk to people about how, or a career coach, to understand how you're going to tailor those skills and transform them to new opportunities you wish to promote. And then once you know that focused area, then you might want to go to, yes, Indeed and LinkedIn. I would just have it on those, no brainer. But then I would look at, what are those targeted audience that are looking for the skills and values that you are looking to offer? So basically, what problems do you want to fix, people out there? That's what people want to know about you. And you need to know, what do you want to fix? What will enthuse and energize you in regards to those problems that you want to be in the middle of?
That's William, right. Thank you very much for the call. We're joined today by Bob Frederick of Employee Development Associates and Luke Schmonsky, who is director of the Center for Student Success at Albany College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences. Our number is 800-348-2551. On this career forum, we go over to Darren in Beacon. Darren, you're on.
Hi, good afternoon. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Hello.
Hello, Darren.
Hello.
Hi. Are you there?
Oh, yes. Very much.
Oh, thanks for taking my call this afternoon.
Hey, great.
I have a question for you. I'm an engineering technician. I have about 30 years' experience, and I'm in the job market again looking for a position, and I get numerous interviews, but I don't get any responses back. Even after the interviews appearingly go well, it seems like companies don't get back to me. And I'm having more difficulty finding a job now than ever before in my life. And I'm wondering, is there something I'm doing wrong, or is there another approach I should take besides job boards and applying on company websites? And I know you should network as well, but is there any other thing that I could be overlooking?
Luke.
Yeah, Darren, so you're getting interviews, correct?
That's correct. Sometimes 3 a week, but no job offers.
Well, okay, good. You're getting interviews. That's a good thing. Can I ask you a follow-up question?
Certainly. I would love it.
have you ever called the company back after you received, if you didn't get any a yes or a no or what have you, or you know that they hired somebody else, have you ever called the company to get maybe feedback or see why they didn't particularly hire you?
I have on a couple occasions, and what I've found is most companies seem to be reluctant. Maybe it's a legal issue, Maybe it's just, they're afraid you would be confrontational, which I would not be. I would, accept a constructive criticism. But maybe they're just, it seems like companies, most of the time, unless you have an insight, at least in my experience, are afraid to offer that.
Is that a legal issue? Are they allowed to tell you?
Of course they can allow you to tell you if why they didn't hire you, or, that's up to them. Most of them won't, and that's why they won't take those calls. But once in a great while, you might have somebody that's that cares about the relationship, or that you might have been a close second or third,
exactly,
and they want to keep you in the running.
Yeah, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a phone call or anything like that. If you get maybe a contact, a business card or something, you can always say email. Sometimes that's a little bit less intimidating, I guess, than a phone call. You can just send a quick email and just, ask for any kind of feedback. And that's something that has worked for some people that I've worked with.
Yeah, Darren, I'd also, since you're getting interviews, I think you're doing something well there, and you're aligning your resume or whatever else in line with what they're asking for. So something is going on at the interview if you're getting three interviews a week. And so therefore, a lot of your questions, either during the interview or towards the end, might be saying, since we've had this conversation, are there any areas that you feel like I'm not matching perfectly for? And could you explain what is on your mind right now that I could possibly address? So what you might want to do is try to ask some of the questions that they're not asking, because maybe they might just get this feeling like you're not the right candidate. But the interview is your time to maybe ask some deeper questions, mm-hmm. to say, how can I make sure that you know all of my value and that this might be the right opportunity for me? And get that question in now rather than probably not getting it after the interview.
Yeah, and without going into too much more detail, Darren, another thing to maybe look at is do a little research and see how maybe you can do like a mock or a practice interview where you'll get some instant feedback like right away. And you can do that at a college, back at your wherever. I mean, you could do some research depending on where you're located to see if you could do that.
Yeah, you'll get practice interviews probably from employment agencies. Yeah. There might be people at your local community colleges, libraries, or friends that might have been in the recruiting or HR field, or managers, to help you practice and make sure that you're answering questions properly and making sure you're getting at what they're hoping
Absolutely.
For.
Absolutely.
All right, Darren, thanks a lot. The number here is 800-348-2551. Bob Frederick and Luke Schmonsky here on the Career Forum, along with me, Ray Graff. And this one came in, actually, let's do a couple that came in via email. This one is from Lisa. Here is a difficulty I'm facing as someone changing careers at 50. I worked as a dental assistant for 10 years, but recently got a certificate in medical billing and coding. I'm certified, but have no on-the-job experience. Most jobs I apply need 2 to 3 years of experience. And that's from Lisa. So she was a dental assistant, wants to go into medical billing and coding, is certified, but no experience.
So she is certified from that training. Good.
Yep.
Okay. So that's a big thing to get out of the way. And they're looking for experience. And who doesn't want experience education and everything else? So she's going in with already medical experience from dental hygiene. That's good. So medical terminology, understanding how to work with professionals, understanding how they write and correspond, mm-hmm. and documentation, really good. And with this new field, not knowing what she's already done in regards to her search, I would be working with professional associations as well in the field. So usually there's national with local chapters, medical billing, coding, medical records.
But if you don't have any experience, can you get in those
Absolutely.
Associations?
And usually, mm-hmm. depending on how recent she graduated, she still, if you're a year out, many times you still can get in under a student membership or an affiliate membership. So they'll be half price or even much lower than half price to get in. And you have the same benefits than the rest of the members, except you can't serve on the board maybe or have voting privileges. So who cares? But you get the background of communications and access to opportunities and networking and mentoring opportunities. I would start with that, because a lot of those people might be able to give her feedback internally within the field, to look at her resume, seeing what she's not really connected with based on how she's communicating her skill set.
Right, because there are transferable skills that are going to, you know, skills that she had from her previous career that would translate to on-job success in her new one. And she really has to figure out a way to bring those to the forefront. So they do, she doesn't have direct experience, but she does have experience.
This is an odd coincidence. Here's another question about dental hygiene. I'm about to start dental hygiene school in my early 50s. This is from Margaret. I'm excited as I really enjoy working with my hands and think I have finally found a career where I can do that and make a living. I'm concerned about age discrimination when looking for a job in 2 years. So let's start with that, and then we'll go to her PS.
Okay, well, we probably should get these two together
and have a conversation. If she helps Lisa find a job, then she can have Lisa's.
Oh, there you go.
That's right.
What about job discrimination?
Oh, what about it?
No,
I'm just going to say that, you know, I'm 55, and I recently...
You started your own business.
Right, and I retired early at 54 from Schenectady County Community College after 22 years there and 8 years at another college. And everyone's saying, why are you doing that, to go out into this world of unknown and uncertainty and losing a great paycheck and everything else? Well, you know, if you feel you're out of the game or if you feel it like you're ready to retire, you're already out of the game probably. So, you know, if you don't have the energy to work on the problems that you're excited to work on, yes, no one's going to want to hire you no matter if you're 16 or 66 or 86. I think a lot of it is intention, energy, focus, a drive to still do your best. And sometimes, and it's not about age for me, when I talk to people, if I'm listening to people over the phone or through this conversation we're having right now, you get a sense of energy in the people you talk to. Are they excited about doing something moving forward and tackling problems? Or are they more excited about doing something else, serving themselves rather than others? Because if you're into only yourself, I'm not going to pay you for that.
Okay, that doesn't answer the question, though. Is there job discrimination out there, and should she be
concerned?
I think
there's bias and discrimination in a lot of different areas. I think we all are biased and discriminate in a lot of different areas. I think based on how we're, you know, it might not be intentional or what the purpose is, but systematically in other ways, we have defined rules or assumptions or points of view that aren't legitimate in many cases, if not most. And therefore, the way we make decisions aren't always logical. Now, if you want to just say this is discrimination or whatever, I think it's human nature that we discriminate and bias. I think it's is it done illegally? Of course there is by some people. And hopefully those people that don't hire you and they're doing it intentionally, you don't want to work with them anyways, and you got to move on to another employer that has greater ethics and applying those ethics.
Okay.
So anyways, after 50, yes, more people are having problems in getting jobs. Why? There could be 1,000 different reasons. And the last thing I would do when coaching people is not apply it to age. Because if you're thinking already that my age is a detriment to me, you're already going in with a mindset now that we just talked about that is not helping you in any way communicate the value you have and what problems you're looking to tackle with the company.
All right, and Margaret tacks on a PS here. In terms of starting small, I went back to school by taking chemistry, working hard, and got an A. So far, all my pre- and co-requisite classes, I've received A grades. Well, bravo, Margaret.
Outstanding.
Awesome. Congrats.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. And John in Albany. John, you're on.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
So a little background. I'm currently 25. I'm an LPN now, and I've been working in hospitals since I was 18. I'm currently deciding that healthcare is not a good field for me. And my question is, what are some good entry-level jobs for people with little college experience?
Okay. Luke.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of good entry-level jobs, John, honestly. But when I think what... The question is not necessarily, you know, going to whatever job positions are open. If you're looking to, I think, leave a particular career field, you have to kind of identify what it is that you want to do and then go after it. There's all kinds of different areas that you could look into, but, just rambling some off, I don't know if it would be beneficial necessarily. I mean, you could go into any kind of trade at the entry level. position, but I mean, is that something that you're even interested in, right? So I think that's really the question. Like, where is it that you see yourself, your career going, and why aren't you happy maybe in your current career field?
Yeah. What led you first to LPN? So what were the values that you attached or that you related to when you even thought about the field of nursing or healthcare? Can you explain that real quick? Is there one or two, three values that you saw in it besides just money?
Helping people.
Right.
Not having a desk job and being able to, so I'm very technically minded.
Great. So you just started the path to understand how you can start to think about helping people, maybe using tools or technology doing that, and doing it in a way that you're not sitting at a desk all day long or maybe even looking at a computer all day long, but you're active. So now you take those key principles or values, and now you start looking at other avenues. And that could be in a variety of things, like Luke was saying. Every industry has those types of work. Everybody does help people, but there are certain ones. Yeah, you can get into retail, you can get into banking, you can get into safety and security. They don't necessarily have high entry-level educational needs, so to speak. Health and human services, there's a number of fields that you can get into that have high need and high job openings. That can get into, that help people use technology and get you out there in the world. So that's a quick way of going about it. But I would sit down with some people and keep working on where your values connect with the opportunities that are out there.
John, did you want to follow up?
Okay,
good.
No, that's good.
All right, thanks
a lot,
John. You betcha. And this one, before we take a break here, this one came in via email from Lou, who says, I'm a 60-year-old male who does not have a college education, already at a disadvantage with my age. I now find myself being blocked from jobs that I'm perfectly qualified to do, but that require at least an associate's degree, jobs that didn't used to ask for a college degree. Is there a way around this? Will my resume even be read once it becomes apparent that I don't have a degree? P.S. I've had at least one job in the past where my lack of college was overlooked due to my experience and skills, but it's getting harder. And that's from Lou.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm one, you know, I've worked at a community college for 22 years, and I love the community college environment because we're working with people that are from 16 to 76.
Yeah.
And it's because a lot of times people come because they don't know what to do, but a lot of them are coming because they are intentional about what they want to learn. That doesn't only have value to them, but they see there has value to their community and other people. Mm-hmm. So again, going back to Lou is, rather than just getting a job, what are some of the things that you would love to learn more about that you could help fix those problems in the world that and the people around you? That's why you might want to think about and not think you're too old for any type of education, no matter if it's in-service training with an employer. If you're out of work right now, it could be at libraries, adult education courses. It could be certifications that might take 3 months to 2 years. It could be an associate's degree. And a lot of times, and especially because of low unemployment right now, many organizations are being a little bit more flexible with their qualifications because, and they're giving more or desired or preferred options rather than just you have to have this set skill set.
All right, let's take a break. Our number is 800-348-2551. Bob Frederick and Luke Schmonsky are here. It's the Career Forum, and the home stretch is straight ahead.
Support comes from ClipCentric Albany, a local video services division of ClipCentric, producing video advertisements for businesses throughout the capital region for web, mobile, and TV. Albany.clipcentric.com. Stavros, helping people with disabilities achieve their dreams. Offices in Amherst, Greenfield, and Springfield. Stavros.org for more information. Agricultural Stewardship Association, helping people conserve farmland in the Upper Hudson Valley. We conserve good farmland for good forever. AGStewardship.org. Waterwheel Village, Galway, New York. Specializing in extra-sharp New York cheddar since 1923, offering imported and domestic specialty cheeses, nostalgic candies, and more. WaterwheelVillage.com. And Shannon Rose Design, Saratoga Springs, New York, working to help companies and organizations express their identities through corporate branding, web design and development, and graphic design for almost three decades. ShannonRose.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here, the Career Forum with Luke Schmonsky and Bob Frederick, and you at 800-348-2551. Joanna in South Hadley is on. Joanna.
Hi there. I wanted to know if either of your guests are using the StrengthsFinders 2.0 personal evaluation, and if not, I can make some comments about it.
Yes, yeah, go ahead, Luke.
Yeah, Joanna, I use it quite a bit, actually. I think it's a pretty good assessment. I think I always talk about how there isn't really anything, there's no such thing as just career problems and personal problems. I think I look at it from a holistic view. And StrengthsQuest is one of those assessments that you can use for careers, but then you can also use for your own professional development in any realm of your life. So,
in a nutshell, what is it?
Okay, StrengthsQuest is a assessment that you...
Actually, it's StrengthsFinder 2.0.
StrengthsFinder. And there are basically, you would take this assessment. It comes along with a book, and Joanna, you might it's either, again. I'm not detailed, but 33 or 34 potential strengths, right?
Yep.
And then what you would get is your top five strengths, and a summary there.
Right, and it talks about the difference between a talent and a strength.
Yep.
So a lot of us have talents that we use, but it's like anything, or any type of skill set or talent base, you can always develop it into a true strength. And the focus is to get away from trying to be good at everything and really hone in on talents that you could really accelerate into strengths that,
what is
again,
the difference
people,
between a talent and a strength?
Well, I could be a good typist and have a talent, or just say responsible. I can be responsible, which is one of the 34, but only to a certain degree. But you could really accelerate your ability to use responsibility as a core talent to strengthen it in a way that is recognized and a go-to that people see in you in a variety of different ways that you live your life and within your work and within your relationships and so on. So it's like coaching. If it's like a golf game, you can putt, but you can really develop that talent into one of your strengths of your golf game. And so it kind of goes through that process. Yep. And how to help you through exercises and approaches to make it happen.
Okay.
Can I make a comment about
it? Yes, absolutely.
I would just say that I came upon this upon recommendation from a friend, and I took it. And what was fascinating to me is that of my five strengths, four of them were already being used in my current work, which I loved, but I was always feeling like something was missing. And when I identified the fifth strength, I couldn't use it in my job because of it being a particular job with particular parameters. But by having identified it so clearly, I then was able to go off on the side outside of my job and use that strength to write a book and get it published.
Huh.
And
wow.
So I found it fascinating. And it's a useful tool. I totally agree with the kind of work these two guests are doing because it's so valuable. And I would just say that if people Google Strengths Finder, which mm-hmm. is a mouthful, Strengths Plural Finder, they'll see the book, they can buy it, it gives them a code to do this online survey, and I've recommended probably 25 other people to do it, and they've all found great insight in it.
Very interesting.
Yeah. And it's very inexpensive,
so thank you.
Too.
Thanks, Joanna.
Yeah, and what's nice about this that tool is it's good to use with others. We use a number of assessments in our mm-hmm. field, and if it's DISC or MBTI or Strength, a strong
interest, yeah,
or a variety of others. Yeah. Discover. I liked Strength Finder because it brings terminology down to very common terms that everyone can relate to. Mm. I used it in the corporate setting, and they liked it much better than the MBTI, for instance, the Myers-Briggs. And so it's good to have a number of assessments in your tool bag when working with people, and it's good for clients or people that are using career coaches or career counselors or whatever to ask for a variety and play with a variety of assessments because some speak to you better than others in
exactly.
the terminology.
So really, self-knowledge is the ultimate key to being satisfied in a career.
I think you got it, Ray. Absolutely.
Why are we here? So anyways.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess the StrengthsFinder computer will do the whole thing.
No, of
get
course.
Them on
yeah.
next time.
Know yourself first, know your community, and know how to put it together to
yeah.
have real value in your life.
Yep.
That's where I went wrong. Mike in Pleasant Valley. Mike, you're on.
Hey, yeah, I know that these guys aren't lawyers, but I was wondering what they have any information about disputes with past employers about unpaid wages.
Oh, for Pete's
and
sake.
In combination with that, what they, if they have any information or available references for you know, undocumented workers and what their effect is on generally in the trades, is what I'm speaking of, trying to be just general and not give away too much information or make any blanket statements.
Zoinks, I think this might be the wrong program, Mike, but let's see if they have anything for you.
I would start with the Department of Labor. Mm-hmm. And yep. So I'd call your most local agency or department and ask in regards to anything that's related to compensation law, yep, or any of those, and they'll grievances, and they'll bring you to a representative that has connections to legal departments or understanding of what documents or forms or processes that you would need to go through if there's any type of either litigation or some type of process that you'd want to work through the employer with. That's right. Where I'd start.
Mike, thank you so much. Our number is 800-348-2551 on this career forum. 800-348-2551. Luke Schmonsky here, director of the Center for Student Success at Albany College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences. Also here, Robert Frederick, we call him Bob, founder of Employee Development Associates. And Bob, you had mentioned that you had used this StrengthsFinder, whatever, 2.0, whatever, in a corporate setting. So mm-hmm. you apply this test to people who already have jobs. So I find this fascinating.
Yeah,
we don't
call it a test either. And right. Joanna would probably be the first one to say.
Evaluation, whatever.
Well, because there's no right or wrong in the answer. It's just looking for truthful answers from the person completing the assessment. So,
fine.
Yeah. When I work, now in my role, Employee Development Associate, it's about bringing learning and development, continuous learning, from an educational environment that most people think about. That's where you go to learn.
Yeah.
But most learning happens in your work and life, all right? So the 70-20-10 rule basically is, no, most people think, yeah, you go to school to learn. No, most times people are learning 70% on their job, in their work, in their community, at home, through relatives and friends and so on. 20% is through your mentoring relationships or peers, groups or supervisors. 10% is in a formal classroom environment,
okay,
all right? So get that out of the way. So learning has to continue in employment. So what you want to do is work with, help businesses understand that role, help managers and supervisors understand that the teaching role that they have, and bring it to them in easy blocks of time and offerings. And what I did, I worked with a great employer locally, a healthcare insurance company that really allowed 12 weeks of time for their employees in all departments, entry level to mid level, to bring them together, to know more about themselves, know more about the company, and then design programs and initiatives that could help the company further its cause. And it was one of the, it was an award-winning opportunity which lasted for 3 years.
But why? If you're an employer and you own an insurance company and you have reasonable efficiency among your employees, why upset the apple cart by saying, oh, Johnny over there in accounting, boy, his strengths are nowhere near there, even though Johnny's doing a great job. Aren't you then injecting a certain amount of, not tension in the situation, but certainly some unsettledness?
Well, with what people like in life is they don't want the same old, same old. They want newness in their life and in their work to keep it interesting. Mm-hmm. So by doing this, actually, you're benefiting the employee to think that even with our caller that was there for 16 years, to have the company invest in an employee and have them allow them to have time to develop new skills, just like Google will do, you know, they'll give a day or they'll give a certain amount of time to their Googlers to just spend on generating ideas and working together on moving them forward. Everyone's looking for that. They want a little surprise along with the routine, along with a certain ability to understand why I can do something, but a little bit of incentive to do more and different is only going to allow the company to survive in this competitive climate and allow you to be part of that process, because if you're not helping the company grow, you're actually helping it to stay behind. And they're always looking for people to grow within the ranks.
And sometimes running these professional development, running these assessments, it might not necessarily be all about work, too. They might find some strengths that they can connect to maybe an outside interest or hobby, so to speak, that, you know, helps them deal with stress or whatever it might be. Because I think a lot of these assessments, especially the ones that Bob and I have worked with and still work with, it's the holistic view. It might not all be about work. It's also about who you are as an individual, too.
Does management have access to the results?
Actually, management is usually part of the process, mm-hmm. and they should be part of the process because they are the most important member of that employee's team in regards to their development over the time.
So then, theoretically, management might say, well, we got a real gem here, and is it an opportunity for advancement for some, or being kicked out the door? For others?
Well, it depends on how they apply their professional development. Sometimes it's at the end of a person's way out, or because they're on the way out, they'll give them some professional development. It might be because they see potential in that candidate, or they try to universalize it in an organization. So anybody at any time, when they're ready and they have the energy or if they are recognized for something, to take that moment in time and keep them on the track of continuous providing opportunities for them to be self-motivated to want to do more rather than being forced to do more. And if you can get employees to be thinking that way, then it takes away the difficulty of the management always trying to feel that they have to use incentives.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Joseph in New Windsor is on. Hello, Joseph.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. Hey, Joe.
Good.
Quick question. I'm 53 years old. I've been out of the workforce now for 6.5-7 years by design. My wife was very sick and ended up taking care of her, and she's now in a long-term care facility. Been trying to get back to work, and one, having difficulty addressing that big gap in my resume. I'm also running up against the you're overqualified thing. So how do you address those two issues?
Okay.
Well, in regards to, first of all, God bless you for the responsibility mm-hmm. and the love that you've shown in regards to your wife and taking care of those responsibilities. That alone shows qualities that employers will and businesses will really cherish and appreciate, because that is because it was your wife, probably is because you have those ingrained in you and that's admirable. In regards to the loss of time, a lot of people have gone through that, and how you explain it, I wouldn't explain it like a job. That sometimes people do that in their resume,
yep.
But I would use it as an important part of your cover letter, exactly. your pitch, your LinkedIn profile in regards to things you care about and how it showcases certain both character as well as skill sets that you had to develop in that time of negotiating or working with healthcare insurance companies, doctors, the healthcare process, the research you had to do probably, and working with understanding what options to take, things like that, the coordination skills that you probably had to develop, and the passion, the caring for people, and so on. And then how do you design that on the resume? Again, some people might, you go to an accomplishments-based resume, some other things that would focus on how do you want to take this new realization in life of 6 to 7 years, combine it with what you might have done before, and then look at how do you then tailor that in a way of where do you want to go next? And again, that's going to be working with some people to draw out in you how you want to explain what your new values and talents are and how that can be applied to a new work. So what are the new problems, again, that you would like to tackle, and what maybe new skill sets that you have to start to develop through education or training that might link you to the next opportunity?
Yeah, and Joseph, I'd like to just build off a little bit on what Bob said. And he mentioned the cover letter. And I think for all the listeners out there, we always focus on the resume. Employers spend, 30 to 45 seconds maybe on a resume at first glance, right? Well, maybe. I'm making things up.
It's a wide range.
That's fine.
Range. But you know what they do, though? They read the cover letter. And a lot of people don't take the time to utilize the cover letter to their advantage. And a well-crafted cover letter will get your foot in the door, if whether you're being creative or what have you. So that is something that I would look to maybe explore and explain in the cover letter.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Joseph, thanks a lot. Now, we only have about a minute here, but Yvette
speed round, right?
Well, Yvette in Wallkill has been waiting a while. We only have about a minute, Yvette, but go ahead.
Hi, I'm just inquiring. I just took on a new position at a school, and I've been doing a lot more professional development, and I'm just inquiring. There's no department head in my building, and I'm wondering, should I try approaching my principal about maybe taking on being a department head, or that would be too soon?
I think you've already answered your question.
What do you mean? She's already answered the question.
I don't know. You brought it up, so it's on your mind, right?
It's on my mind, but I'm just worried. I've only been there. I came in November, so I've been there less than a year. But I want to really differentiate myself from the other teacher. But I don't know. Your advice, I guess.
Ask the question. Too many people.
Well, my question should I?
Go ahead.
Should I ask, you know, to be a department head or not? Because myself and the other art teacher are at the same, you know, we're just basic, same pay rate. Yeah.
Usually people step up to the plate, sometimes forced or sometimes because they just ask the question of others that have the ability to make things happen. If it's on your mind, go to your supervisors, ask for the opportunity and see if you're at the right stage with the right experience to take it on. Go for it.
Go ahead, Luke.
Oh, no, I was just saying if you have an annual review or anything like that, that would be the time to maybe to start to mention some of the things that you want to do.
Well, that was a fun and quick, fast-paced show. Luke Schmonsky, thank you for being here.
Anytime.
Bob Frederick, thanks again.
Always good to see you, Ray.
We'll see you guys soon. Support for WAMC comes from Colby Attorney Service, document filing, document and information retrieval, and other services, including legal publishing and corporate record searches, ColbyService.com. Jane Iredale, a mineral makeup company specializing in makeup that is good for the skin. Jane Iredale Retail Shop at Louisa Ellis Boutique, Great Barrington, JaneIredale.com. And Curtis Lumber announcing their new kitchen showrooms featuring kitchen design trends and cabinets from Wellborn and Merlot and quartz countertops from Cambria, CurtisLumber.com. Thanks again to Bob and Luke for being here. Thanks to you for listening and for the great calls. Zach Malloy, our engineer. Your phones were answered by Deb Malik. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow is Food Friday, and we'll discuss some favorite Passover dishes with Chef Brian Arnoff of Kitchen Sink Food and Drink. And Rabbi Hecht will also be joining us. Right now, though, stand by for news.